This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9.
Defines a JRPG compared to like a Western RPG or just a general RPG? What's the difference?
Okay, so I view RPG and JRPG differences as, so RPGs, for instance, are more of like Dragon Age and Skyrim kind of thing going on there with more realistic and kind of medieval themes to it. And Japanese RPGs, I think, are more like, of course, the anime styling in art and character design.
Yep.
So that's obviously one flag for that, yeah, is so that it has the anime kind of styling to it.
Yeah, part of the style. So, yeah, so Western RPGs, you might find your standard, like your dragons.
Yeah.
Like your a mythology with, like, dwarves and things like that. So it's kind of that the Lord of the Rings idea of what fantasy is.
Whereas JRPGs are kind of, like, more, they explore more into kind of monsters and, yeah, you know, like tentacle monsters and stuff, like we know Japan loves.
Yeah, yeah. What do you reckon, Finn?
Yeah, that sounds exactly right to me. I guess you've also, it's kind of that styling element as well. I don't want to say that it's not adult, but it's like, I guess, a type of realism that you see in an RPG versus a JRPG. And I think a good, I guess, point of discussion is something like, the new Final Fantasy game coming out, 15?
Yeah, 15, yep.
Yeah, how some people have said that it's kind of jumped ship from a JRPG to a normal RPG. So it's like, what is the kind of
style difference? Because they're driving around in a car and fighting enemies. Yeah,
yeah. So it's kind of just that, so more fantasy-based, even as normal RPGs obviously have fantasy elements.
Yeah. Mm. For me, I think the thing that stands out for JRPGs when I look at them is I think they're initially, in terms of the story, it's not as choose-your-own-adventure as your Western RPGs.
Yes.
JRPGs tend to be, it's always like there's this main character and there's always like a backstory and he or she's a bit broken and a bit, you know, maybe lost their memory or something. It's always that kind of thing. And then they get taken through this story and they're usually led through a story that's pretty much world-based. It's not just your little story. It's about this entire conflict in the world that's happening.
Yeah.
Mm. So it definitely goes with that. And the story usually is a lot more in-depth as well.
Yeah.
Because it's written for you and there's not much choice in it, it means they can kind of craft a lot of detailed character nuances, a lot of little bits and pieces and traits, and they build the villains in a certain way as well. Mm. So I think the story to me always stands out in JRPGs. Like, if you don't like story in games, you should not play JRPGs.
No.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Because they're usually full on. Like, so much to read and so much dialogue to take part in. And if you don't enjoy that, you end up missing, like, half the game.
Yeah.
Because lots of it's optional as well, the dialogue. Like,
yeah.
You can talk to this person in the town or you can run past them. But if you like RPGs, you want to talk to everybody. You want to get those conversations and you want to see if they have any items for you or if they have any quests for you and stuff like that. And I think JRPGs, more than your regular ones, just have so much of that in them.
Yes. Yeah, and I guess that element of kind of, you know, you get into your Skyrim and you pick all of your own skills and you choose how your character looks, like, it's not kind of built up in that way. You are kind of, you know, you're a character that they've, and you're on a path.
Yeah, you're already that character, whereas in the JRPGs it's like, oh, this person, oh, discover this thing and...
Yeah, I sort of feel like, generally speaking, the combat in JRPGs is a lot more in-depth as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's usually menus involved within the combat.
Yeah.
Even if it's real-time combat, there's still, like, lots of abilities and menus and selections you can do.
Yeah.
You know, choosing a party formation is so important. You know, they don't normally fight for themselves. It's really about how you set them up to actually have success in combat. And it can be quite menu heavy. Like, you got to think about each move that you make really carefully, because if you make the wrong move, then you're stuffed.
Yeah.
Whilst I think that Western RPGs are a bit more hack and slash and a bit more forgiving. So things like, I'm telling you, like the Dragon Age, the Elder Scrolls games, The Witcher, stuff like that. Still great combat systems in their own right, but you can pick it up and smash a couple of buttons and probably still make it through most of the game okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Whilst if you don't think about it in JRPGs, you'll get run over. And there is that grind as well.
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now talk me through what good grinding is like, Finn. Not in the dirt. Hang on, wait. Whoa. I did not mean that, but now I do.
Tell me about that.
Tell us, Finn.
But, you know, we talked about before in Legend of Legacy how the grind, the constant battling just all the time and leveling up your characters to be stronger, and then if you change your setting, you've got to level up some more, and that's an example of a bad, you know, bad way to grind through battles and stuff like that. But it can also be quite fun and quite satisfying as well.
Yeah. Like, I think it's really important how it's employed. Like, you don't want to force someone to do it for too long. Like, you should offer ways around doing it.
Like the escape option, for
instance. Yeah, yeah. Like, it should be easy to flee battles. There should be other methods of, like, gaining experience, whether it's exploring maps or what have you. And I think you should have the option to kind of do a mindless battle option. Like, you know, while you're grinding, you know, whether it's an auto battle or whether you can set up your parties in a certain way, you'd be able to just kind of mash your button and get through it. Whereas if you have to think about it, but you're doing a lot of grinding, I think it can get quite tiring.
Yeah, I think some RPGs, I think the first one I played that did this was Chrono Cross back on the PlayStation. Oh, amazing RPG, amazing JRPG. And that's one of the first JRPGs where you could actually see the enemy on the map in front of you, and you can choose to battle it or not.
Yes.
So if you can run past it, like if it sees you, it'll come at you, right? But if you can run past it without it seeing you, that's fine. You do that. So it took away the random encounters, the random battles. I think that random encounters, for me, are one of my most hated parts of JRPGs.
Yep.
So you feel on edge all the time. Like, you're worried because you're, like, low on health and you're running along and you're like, oh, I really hope I don't end.
Yeah.
Into a battle.
You get super unlucky and it randomly, like, you take a step and you're in another battle. You just had a battle and you take a step and you're right into it again. You're like, oh, come on. I just want to get to this town so I can sell my stuff.
Yeah.
Now I can't do that. I've got to do this. And it's kind of, it's like an annoyance.
Yeah.
It's like someone's interrupted your game and you're like, oh, God, stop it.
Yeah. So you definitely need ways around it, or you need the battles to be super interesting, or else you're gonna get really bored.
Exactly. And like Legend of Heroes, I talked about before, but in that one, you encounter them on the map, which I like, and then if they're a weak enemy and you walk up and you hit them with your sword, they just die. You don't even go into a battle.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Right?
That's
so if you're good. Too strong, it doesn't make you do whoosh, loading screen and music and make your move. You know, it doesn't do all that. It just goes, oh, you killed them. Good.
Oh, like that's
it,
good.
Yeah. So think, things like that are quite helpful as well.
Yeah. Etrian Odyssey came in like the kind of middle ground between those two, I think, because it has this kind of feature where it's like really paced out. So you'll go into a battle and there's like a little coloured dot on the bottom of the screen,
yeah,
and it'll slowly go red as you're walking along. So it'll go red and then you'll go into a battle. So right. it's dependent on how far you walk, essentially. So you always know when you're about to go into battle.
Yeah, okay. Use that little heads up, which nice. Is,
I don't mind that.
It's good, yeah.
Or like, I don't know if you ever played Tales of Symphonia, but like you had this little ring and you could like shoot enemies on the map and they would freeze if you wanted to, like, or and you could change the ring's abilities to do different things, but it did mean that you had kind of a way out of avoiding those encounters if you really wanted to.
Yeah, and even like going back to like Pokemon, you can wear like an antidote or something where you can walk through the grass and not get attacked, sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know, you can do that. You can put a repellent on so the Pokemon don't come at you. So things like that are really handy in those games, I think, to give you that breather so you're not just constantly on edge.
Oh, for
random
sure.
battle. Oh my god. Here on Critical Hit on Joy 94.9, and we're talking about JRPGs. I'm Luke here with Finn and Viv, and talking about JRPGs again, so we talked about sort of the battles and the random encounters and what we like and don't like about them and stuff like that. What else, because you guys are here because you like JRPGs, right?
That's why you're here today.
What do you like about them? What makes a JRPG more engaging than other games for you?
I think the storyline, especially in the characters, like immersion as well, like how much you connect with the characters that they present to you. And the stories just really match my personality. I think they're just so fun and yeah. And I think also the art style, it like really brings me, it's like nostalgic to all my anime days, even though my anime days are still current, but
yeah,
like the art style really calls to me and it's just kind of my perfect little thing. Yeah.
And they can be quite youthful as well. You know, the storyline's usually the main character, not all the time, but it's like a young boy or a girl. You know, it's usually there's a school involved sometimes. Like some of the biggest ones, like Persona, for example, you know, your high school students and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's plenty of games where you're just like a young guy and there's a girl that's kind of maybe into you and you might fall on her inappropriately and then there's a bit of tension and it's a bit silly and a bit cute. You know, there's stuff like that that happens that you don't sort of see in the more serious save the world RPGs.
Even
like
when
the
they
Witcher.
Have the more serious kind of theme to it, it's still kind of a little bit laid back and a bit more chill, I think, or like kind of like the intensity as animes usually have, which is I don't know how to exactly explain it, but people who watch anime will understand what I'm
like. It's almost
about.
It's almost so unreal that it doesn't make you stressed about it.
Yeah,
it doesn't try too hard to be realistic.
Yeah, it makes you feel all fuzzy inside and nice.
What about you, Finn? What makes JRPGs great for you?
Well, yeah, I really like the point about how it kind of empowers young people. I think that really kickstarts the imagination because you can imagine it, you know, as a young person and like how cool it would be if you were kind of thrown into this adventure. Not that that wouldn't be cool right now.
Yeah.
Like looking around to be imbued with magical powers.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. But definitely, yeah, I love the storylines. I think they're so absorbing and they're not afraid of being emotional, which other RPGs can shy away from. They like don't want to get too touchy-feely, but I love the way that they like fully and like, you know, sometimes it's a bit corny. But a lot of the time it isn't. A lot of the times it's like it feels real and really just like that aspect of it.
Yeah, and because the conversations in those games can be so deep, you know, if you take the time to really read them and enjoy them or take part in them, you really do connect with the characters on a lot deeper of a level. And I think, again, because they give you a character usually from the start that already has a name and already can go through the game and has a story, it means they can tailor that story to that character and it's not up to you to imagine a story or to have conversations. It all just happens kind of around you and happens to you so you can go on this journey. Even if the story is linear, it's still like it feels like this epic part that you're playing in it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's funny you said about, you know, powering young people, and you're totally right, Finn. Like, it's games like Yo-Kai Watch, games like Pokemon and stuff like that, franchises that are massive in Japan. It's that whole thing. It's a young kid going on an adventure for the first time and taking part in that and learning about themselves and about the world, and usually through some mystical, crazy element, yeah, but it's kind of about that adventure. And I think that's why particularly, you know, JRPGs resonate so much over in Japan, because these are, this is the market. They're teenagers playing these games and going, oh, wouldn't it be cool to be out of our day-to-day lives, you know? You don't just go to school, but you go to a demon fighting school where you learn skills and there's a dungeon beneath the school you can fight in, you know? It's kind of that idea of fantasy that we all, you know, and I think that's why we love it too. Yeah. We
and
love
they're obsessed
that idea.
With it, right? Like, as you said, like, every anime, really. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You can't think of many which aren't based around, you know, high school students or high school age at least. Yeah, they love it. And, yeah, I think it's just so exciting and really,
yeah, it really
brings out the imagination.
Yeah, it does. It activates your imagination and lets you go into, like, a different world and explore it and immerse yourself in it.
And we're especially, you know, we're adults, but we're still kids at heart.
Yeah.
And that's what
never
it comes
growing
down
up.
To. Yeah.
We all wish we had a second chance.
To, like, catch Pokemon and to go to a dungeon fighting school. Yeah. But I think that's a massive part of it, though, is that the fantasy, it's so carefully crafted and based on young people that you kind of want to go on that ride. And I think that's the criticism people do have for JRPGs, people that don't get them. And there's lots of people that just won't play JRPGs.
Yeah.
You say the word or the acronym to them and they're like, oh, no. You know, they're instantly put off just based on the genre alone. And I think that's because the characters can be a bit cutesy and it can be kind of young skewed, and there's lots of story that can be almost quite draining if you don't like it. You know, it can be overwhelming with the amount of story and dialogue to the point where they're just mashing A to get through everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, even I, loving JRPGs, can understand that when there are certain JRPGs that aren't as well made, in my opinion, and they do get really boring, you know? Yeah. And like Finn, you were saying before with your review today, like, you know, you were saying before the show to me, I think, that after 5 hours, you kind of felt like you'd seen all there was to see, really. There wasn't more to
it's
grow
just,
from
there
that.
There wasn't, yeah, there just wasn't anything which kept me on the line, because the story element was so restricted and really not emphasized in the game at all. So, and then it was so open-ended, you can kind of go anywhere you want. So you'd it was hard to know whether you're at a dead end or whether you just haven't, like, grinded enough. And it was just, yeah, very confusing and just didn't have that. Like, I don't think JRPGs have to be linear to be good, but it just felt like it was too open world and you're just too lost.
Yeah. So, I mean, what about talking about some of the best JRPGs that we've played? Now, Final Fantasy is a standout for a lot of people. It's kind of the mainstream JRPG. Final Fantasy VII in particular on the PlayStation, that kind of was everyone's favorite game at the time. Turn-based combat system, Japanese characters, crazy big hair, big swords, you know. It really started that whole trend, and plenty of games followed suit after that. So what are some of your guys' favorites?
I think, I'm trying to think of the name of it now. I really love it. Tales of Cytheria, for one. Like, when I did the review for that, I absolutely fell in love with the game and I just really liked it. It just called to me. But aside from that, I'm a really big fan of the whole genre in general. So just any of the games, like Lost Dimension as well, was a really good one.
Yep.
I think that kind of caters towards more people that are kind of getting into JRPGs and kind of on the cusps of not getting into it. So it's like, it's good for people that like it and that don't like it as well.
Yeah, and there is a mix
is a good
of those.
Combination, yeah.
There are some that just go deep end, we know what we are, and you're going to play this as JRPG. And if you don't play JRPGs, you'll be like, what is even going on? Like, it's intense.
Yeah, exactly.
Some are a bit more lighter fare, though, that's for sure. We talked about Pokemon already, massive one, obviously. Really, really huge. Dragon Quest, another major franchise, been around for a long time. Dragon Quest was pretty much the first major JRPG back in the 80s. So just massive, that one as well. What about you, Finn? What are some of your favourites?
Yeah, I mean, I love Tales as well, and the one that I played heaps was Symphonia. I just love that game. Others, yeah, like I've loved Final Fantasy since forever. Star Ocean,
yes.
Yes.
That is such a cool game. Like, what an amazing storyline and like a mixture of medieval elements, but you're in a spaceship and it's like, it's just so cool. Like, I love the way that game was crafted.
Yeah, a new one coming out this year as well.
So excited.
Star Ocean Integrity and Faith. Lifelessness, I think it's called, maybe, or maybe
some long name, no doubt.
Some long name, but that's coming out this year. That.
So excited!
Very, very cool. And you know, big games like Chrono Trigger and then Chrono Cross. If they did a new Chrono game, that would blow my mind. I mean, this is like a game that
you're obsessed.
Well, the last one was what, 16 years ago or something. Like, give us a new one at this point. You know? And then yes, of course, the Tales games are a very popular ongoing franchise. They tend to be long running and long loved. Some of these franchises, yes. they last 20 to 30 to even 40 years. They just go.
Yeah.
I mean, Final Fantasy is up to 15 now. Dragon Quest's up to 11 coming out this year. Like, it's they just go forever. You know. And there's been so many Tales games, I couldn't even tell you because they change the name every time.
Yeah.
Tales of Symphonia, Tales of Hysteria, Tales of blah, blah, blah. Like, it's always a Tales game, though.
Yeah.
Just so many, which is very exciting. So, yeah, JRPGs, love them or hate them, they're definitely, they stand alone. And the people that do love them, like us, just really love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So never get exciting. Bored of them.
Never. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.